You're very welcome. Good to see you all here tonight. Hope that you feel welcome. You got a cup of tea on the way in. You probably get one on the way out too, and you can hang about. We want you to know that we're here to help you, okay? We're here to share help and a solution for life's most intractable problems, our brokenness, our addictions, all the problems that all of us face if we're honest. I want to read a scripture with you. Very, very well known. You don't even need to turn to it unless you want to. But it's John 3 and verse 16. I'll probably be in John 3 all three nights. John 3 verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Can we pray together? Let's just pray. And I want you to pray for yourself that God would speak to you. Would you do that? Ask God. Stephen said that going up to the mission hall. He prayed, "Lord, meet me in that hall." And he meets people in barns, and he meets people in cars, and he meets people anywhere, because he's everywhere. So why don't you pray that he will meet you now? Just say, "Oh God, meet me the way you met Stephen." Might look the same way, but he can meet you in one of 100,000 million ways. And he can meet you here tonight. So Father, we thank you. We thank you for the wonderful story of your love and your grace that meets people right where they are. And I thank you for every person in this place tonight. And I thank you that it is your heart's desire to meet them. And if they have a heart's desire to meet you, the two you're going to meet, Father. And I thank you for that. And I pray that that will be the case for many people right across this barn tonight. Holy Spirit, come and flood this space with the love of God. And may Jesus Christ be fully known personally to people, we pray. Lord, we love you and we can't wait to see what you're going to do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a few things I want to share with you from this verse very simply. The first is, there is a God. Just in case you didn't know it. John 3:16 says, "For God." Yeah? It's a bit like the first verse in the Bible, "In the beginning, God." You know, he doesn't explain his existence. God is not an atheist. He believes in himself. You know, he knows who he is. He knows what he's done. But I wonder, do you? But are you aware that the world generally is not atheistic? There's this global and enduring presence of a belief in God right throughout the history of humankind. And the existence of religion suggests a belief in a higher power or some kind of transcendental being that fulfills something in each of our hearts that we're yearning for, even if we don't realize it. It fulfills psychological, social, existential needs that atheism does not. And just to put that simply, what it means is we all need God, even if we don't believe in God. Pascal, the scientist, said, "There's a God-shaped void vacuum in all our hearts. And we're never complete. We're never fulfilled or satisfied until we have God in our lives." But over the last number of years, the religious and spiritual landscape of the United Kingdom and Ireland has been changing rapidly. Because there used to be a lot of traditional religious affiliation that you would see. In other words, people calling themselves Christian, in inverted commas, culturally Christian, or maybe even going to a Christian place of worship. But that has declined over the last number of years. But what is very interesting, what has been on the rise, is personal spirituality, especially among the younger generation. Let me give you a few statistics. And it might be a bit boring for some of you, but hang in there. Religious affiliation in the United Kingdom. According to 2021 census for England and Wales, 46% of people identified as Christian, a decrease from 59% in 2011. So in 10 years, there was a decrease of people who affiliated as Christians. Those reporting no religion increased 37.2% from 25.2%. So it went up over 10% since 2011. And in Scotland, 2022, the census indicated that 51% of Scots had no religion. Over half of Scotland say they're not religious at all. But when you come to spiritual beliefs, it's different. The 2022 study found that 51% of Gen Z, or Gen Z, that's anyone aged 13 to 28, 51% of them in Britain believed that there was life after death, compared to 35% of baby boomers at that time. Now, a baby boomer is someone between 61 and 79. So it's not interesting. People who are near the coffin don't believe in life after death. And Gen Z, 13 to 28-year-olds, over half of them are believing in this. Only 13% of Gen Z, 13 to 28-year-olds, identify as atheists. Only 13%. Whereas 25% of Gen X, that's what I am, 44 to 60, I'll not tell you what, but that's a quarter of my generation identify as atheists, but only 13% of 13 to 28-year-olds today. And 20% of the baby boomers, so 61s to 79s, identified as atheists. Bible sales in Britain has surged by 87% from 2019 to 2024. 5 years. 87% increase. And Gen Z is the increasing fuel of that increase of Bible purchases. Let's talk about Ireland for a second. Religious affiliation is down, just like UK. The 2022 census reported that 69% of the population identified as Catholic, and it's down from 84% in 2011. So in a decade, religious affiliation with Catholicism in Ireland has gone down 25%. And those with no religion accounted for 14% of the population, which was a significant increase from 1961, which was 0.1% of the population said they had no religion then. They were all very religious and all very Catholic. So religion has gone down in Ireland. But spiritual beliefs, a recent poll indicated that 54% of 18 to 24-year-olds, Gen Z in Ireland, describe themselves as spiritual, compared to 46%, 29 to 44-year-olds, millennials. So young people are less religious and more spiritual. This is a generation, particularly the younger generation, that is engaged in spirituality but wants very little to do with institutionalized religion. What is this telling us? What is it telling you? Well, on the positive side, more people are believing in God. More people are believing in something out there. Some transcendental existence. Some being. Some higher power, as AA would call it. They want to believe in something, but they don't want dead, irrelevant, institutionalized religion. And I'll tell you why, if you're in that bracket, if you're in Gen Z, between 13 to 28, 29, why you want something spiritual. Because it makes sense. And some of you older ones need to waken up. Maybe you've been left behind in all this. It makes sense. There's the cosmological argument, they call it. That's the argument of first cause. It says that everything begins with a cause. And if that's the case, then the universe, because it exists, it had to begin with a cause. Something outside of space, something outside of time, something eternal, powerful, and uncaused has to cause everything that has been caused and exists. There's the teleological argument of design. There's complexity in this universe. When we look around us, even at a snowflake, even put one of those pieces of hay under a microscope, you will see purposeful design that implies a designer. Think of the universe, the laws of physics, DNA, fine-tuning, everything around us, it all testifies of a designer, a creator. Third is the moral argument. Most of us, even if we're not religious or class ourselves as moral, we believe in moral values. We believe generally in doing good rather than evil. And that indicates a source of our morality, an objective moral source that is God. And then
Finally, and what I want to emphasize tonight is the experiential religious argument, and that is millions of people claim a personal knowledge of God because they've experienced Him. And it goes across all cultures and all histories and all time brackets. And the best explanation for widespread, consistent spiritual experience is God is real. For God. God is rationally known in human experience. Now, don't misunderstand me. Some of these arguments that I've given you are well-worn over the years, and they don't prove God's existence in a mathematical sense, but they offer strong reasons to believe in a transcendent, intelligent, moral being called God. But the great question is, who is He and what is He like? For God, so love. What is He like? He is love. I heard Mark Sayers, who is a preacher, a theologian, and a cultural commentator, does podcasts and stuff, and I can't document this statistic, but he said that there was a survey done recently in Japan, which is a very secular country. They have ancient religion in their history and so on, superstition, Eastern religions, but generally, they're a secular nation. And there was a survey done, and they were asked the question, I can't remember how many people, but asked the question, if you wanted to join a religion, what religion would you join? And they were astounded to discover that 90% of them said they would want to be Christians. 90%? Why? I'll tell you why. Because it's the greatest story ever told. For God so loved the world. It's a story about a God who loves creation. A God who loves humanity. And more than that, He has proved His love. He gave His one and only Son. We have a God who came into humanity, who became a person in Jesus Christ, who came into our stuff, into our mess, into our brokenness, into our shame and guilt and humiliation. And He took it all on Himself on a cross. And He died our death and an infinite number almost of deaths. And He bore our judgment. And He took our hell. And He was buried. This is the message that we have. A God who is real, who is there, who loves, and who proved His love. And sometimes I meet people who say, if God's really there, why doesn't He just show up in front of me and prove it? Or why doesn't He do this? Or why doesn't He do that? But listen, what if I tell you about a God who became a man and died for everybody's mess? Everybody's sin and shame and brokenness. Because, I mean, what else could we ask for? For a God that loves us that much. And Paul said in Romans 5 and verse 8, God has demonstrated His love for us. And that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners. And you know what that means? Let me illustrate it to you. I heard of a guy this week who was on porn. Like literally on it, on his computer. And he heard a voice in his head singing, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And he says that's the only thing that began to cure his porn addiction. Knowing a greater love, a greater wonder, a greater awe, a greater buzz that fills our hearts and satisfies our longings. And I want to tell you tonight from this verse that God is here for you and He's waiting on you doing something. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son that whoever, that means you, anybody here, anybody in the world, believes in Him. He's waiting on you because He doesn't force His love on anybody. There's a word for forced love. You know what that is, don't you? He's not like that. but he waits. Stephen quoted Revelation 3:20, he stands at a door, and the door is your heart, and he knocks, and he's waiting for you to open the door on the inside and let him in. And I want to tell you tonight as I close, this is the only hope for you. This is the only hope for the world, and this is why the younger generation has wakened up. Because their fathers and their grandfathers, what they gave them through atheism and materialism and secularism, they realize it's worthless. It's empty. And it leaves them empty. And that's why this verse says, whoever believes in him shall not perish. Do you know that's what was happening to Stephen? He was perishing. The word for perish literally means waste away. That's what sin does to you. Now, I know it gives a buzz. I mean, it wouldn't be a problem. I wouldn't be tempted if it wasn't pleasurable. But the problem is, it leaves a serpent's bite in the pleasure. So that Satan always shortchanges us. He always trades off against the pleasure that he gives us. He takes something back for himself. And he leaves us in bondage. So there is a judgment in our sin that wastes us away and destroys us from the inside out. But there's also a punishment for sin. And there is an eternal perishing, an eternal wasting forever. If we go into eternity and we die and we don't know God personally. Imagine you're at home, and God forbid this happens. You're at home and your house set on fire. And you're up in bed sleeping, and the fire started in the kitchen downstairs. You're upstairs and you don't realize the house is on fire, but your room starts to fill with smoke. You can't see the fire, but your neighbor across the road or across the field sees the fire, and they run over and they batter the door down and they run up the stairs and they pull you out and they rescue you. Because they saw the danger. You didn't see it. Your room was just filling with smoke. And some of you here tonight, you don't see God. You don't see that he's a God of love. You don't realize what Jesus did for you in the cross. You maybe think that God has never showed up for you in your life when you needed him. And you don't realize there's something you need to do to get to know him. You don't realize your life is wasting away, but your room has been filling up with smoke. You don't see the fire, but you see the smoke. And it's starting to choke you, and you wonder what's going on. Do you know that Jesus ran into the fire for you? To rescue you. For God so loved you that his son came to die for you. And he has already proven himself to you and to the whole wide world by dying on a cross and rising again the third day so that he can show up in our lives and say, believe in me. Let's pray. Now, I asked you to pray that you would encounter the Lord tonight. I wonder, has he spoken to you? Do you feel his breath on you? Do you sense his touch in your life? Do you sense that God has come close to you? And maybe like Stephen, you've had one of those epiphany type moments. I don't know. Well, there's something for you to do. Stephen cried out and asked God to forgive him for his sins. And the Lord has already paid for our sins. You know, he's already dealt with that, but we have to receive it. And there's a word called repentance, which means you realize that you have been damaging yourself. It's not all been your fault, but we've all gone our own road. And we need to just recognize we have made mistakes. Now, some of us, not everything that's happened has been our fault by any means. Some of us were set up to fail. In fact, all of us were to a large degree. But some of us have had stuff done to us that was not our fault at all. So I get all that, but we do have to take ownership for what we have done ourselves. And that's called repentance, just confessing, putting our hands up and saying, guilty as charged, Lord. I'm owning my stuff. But then realizing that Jesus has paid for that all. God in Jesus has dealt with it, carried it away, and you must receive that by faith. And that simply means, just like a child, in simple trust, you need to receive it and say, I believe that that's true, and I'm going to take it now. I believe that that's true, and I'm going to take it now and believe it. I'm going to confess Jesus as Lord of my life. I'm going to follow him now. Not the lies of the devil, not the deception of sin, but I'm going to follow him and give him my life. And I'm going to give you a prayer to pray if you want to do that. So just where you're sitting, between you and God, from your heart, between you and God, you can pray this prayer. Would you do that with me? Just between you and God. Just say this. Oh God, I come to you in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Just repeat those words in your heart to God and mean them. Oh God, I come to you in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I own my sin. And I'm sorry for it. And I turn from it. And I turn to you for forgiveness. I thank you that Jesus died for me. Can you say that? That Jesus died for me. And you love me. Thank you that you are my Father. I confess Jesus as Lord. I renounce Satan and all his works. And I ask you to fill me with the Holy Spirit, that I might live a life that is pleasing to you, the life that you want for me, a life of abundance, a life of fulfillment in Christ. Now just keep our eyes closed for a moment, but if you're here and you prayed that prayer, now we don't bring people out, we don't point them out, we don't embarrass people, okay? So just relax. But it is important to confess our faith in Jesus Christ. There's a power that comes to us when we confess our faith in Christ. And if you prayed that prayer just now, everybody's eyes are closed, okay? And I'm the only person that's looking right now. So if you prayed that prayer and you want to acknowledge you prayed the prayer and confess Jesus as Lord, and we'll not pull you out and we'll not name you and we're not looking anything off you. We just want to rejoice with you and encourage you by praying with you just from the front. Would you raise your hand to say you prayed that prayer to become a Christian and to trust Jesus Christ as Lord? Just where you're seated, would you raise your hand? Don't be afraid. Put it up and put it down and we'll see it and we'll pray for you. Is there anyone? God bless you. Anyone else? There's one person has responded. Will you follow them to confess Jesus? You might have prayed that prayer but not ready to put your hand up. That's okay, but why not put your hand up? Jesus hanged on a cross for you, unashamed of your sin. He identified with your stuff. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? You prayed that prayer. Just to acknowledge you prayed that prayer. Or you want to pray it. You didn't pray it, but now you do. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Another two. Right, let's pray that prayer again. Just pray it. Lord Jesus, I confess my sin. I come to you for mercy and forgiveness. I thank you that you died for me. Forgive me now. I confess Jesus as Lord. I renounce Satan and all his works. I ask you to fill me with the Holy Spirit. Anybody else? Just pray that. Hasn't put their hand up yet. And you want to confess and acknowledge your faith in Jesus Christ. Anyone else? I want those four people and anybody who prayed it and didn't acknowledge it to come over to me. I've got a booklet for you. Don't worry, we're not asking you to sign any checks or we don't want your bank code or anything like that. We're not interested in that. We just want to help you. So come over to my left, your right, in a moment. Is there anybody who you do identify as a Christian, but you don't really know this love of God and actually the love of other things. Maybe some of the things I've mentioned or Stephen has mentioned has come between you and God's love, and you think he couldn't love you because you've messed up so much. You've burnt your bridges. You think, Oh, he can't forgive me. I keep falling over again and again and again. But listen, why not tonight come back to the Lord, get over your sin and over yourself? He did 2,000 years ago. He got over you a long time ago. You need to get over yourself. And you need to come to him and get the help that is there for you. Is there anybody who wants to come home? Come back to Jesus. Just where you are. You once called yourself a Christian. Maybe you still do. But people don't know what's going on. And how far away you are from God. Maybe even started to doubt his existence. You're an internal agnostic. Are you even there, Lord? But you want to come home. Anyone else? God bless. Anybody else? Put your hand up. Put your hand up. If that's you, just where you are. Anyone else? I know there's plenty in here like that. Anyone else? And you want to come home. You want to know that love of God. God bless you. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Anyone? Now listen, as I said tonight, come and meet me over here in the corner, my left, your right. All those people that responded, I just want to help you a little bit more and give you some literature. If you need healing tonight, come and meet the God of love. The God who wants to touch you in mind, in heart. Spiritually, if you're in bondage to something, you heard about Stephen's nightmares. Jesus can heal nightmares. Yeah. He can set you free. And he can heal bodies as well. He can heal bodies. Why not bring it to him and see what he does tonight? Lord, I bless everyone who's responded. Thank you for those who responded for the first time. Those who returned home to you, Lord. And we give you glory. We give you praise. We exalt you, Lord. And Lord, we just want you to have all the glory. Because you're the one, Jesus, who did the work. You bore the pain. You took our shame. Lord, thank you that more and more people are realizing that God, you're here and you're alive and well on this planet. But Lord, would you open even more eyes tonight of others who haven't taken that step? Thank you for what you're doing. Keep doing it, Lord, each night in Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen, let me challenge you before I hand over to Joel, and then we'll close. Can you bring someone tomorrow night? Maybe you brought somebody tonight. Bless you. Bring them again. That's somebody you brought. Why don't the somebody bring somebody tomorrow night? You know, this is where it works, guys. Okay? And you can come for the tea and the cakes and the talent, whatever else. Come for all that. That's good. But bring somebody. Bring someone to hear the good news. All right? Bless you.